it took time to deal with the body. Gail had learned the art of butchering meat at her father's knee. By the time Gail was 12, her father liked to brag to his pals that if he turned Gail loose in the slaughterhouse, she could do the whole job herself. And she could have, too, from beginning to end. Gail learned to love it. Sometimes, when her mother wasn't around, she'd bathe her hands in the gory stuff. But a serious butcher knife was what was needed to do the job properly, to cleave bone and flesh apart at the joints and sever them into manageable pieces for bundling and carrying. She was unaccustomed to using Eric's machete. It seemed like a clumsy tool for the job, and it wasn't nearly sharp enough. Not only that, Gail had to do the messy work in clothing far too big for her. Despite 3 pairs of socks, Eric's Nikes threatened to fall off at every step. She had to cinch his belt up tight to keep his pants from falling down over her hips. But the blood splatter would be in all the right places. On the inside bill of his Arizona Diamondbacks cap, on the outside of his sweatshirt and jeans, and on the outsides of his shoes as well. There was no faking that. Her big concern these days was DNA. She had gathered some individual hair from Eric's hairbrush and 1 or 2 curly reddish stray pubic hairs from his bed. She left those in strategic spots where an alert medical examiner ought to be able to find them. What she didn't want to do was leave any evidence of her own presence behind. Eric LaGrange had committed the unpardonable. The death penalty was exactly what he deserved. Brandon sat down next to Diana.
"I'm going out to the reservation today," he said to her.